You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.
Hello and welcome to this Times Higher Education Summit podcast from Hong Kong. We're by the pool in our Summit Hotel, Hotel Icon, which has been an integral part of this summit, the title of which is THE Impact and Innovation Summit. And I say the hotel's been integral because this hotel is actually owned and run by Hong Kong PolyU, the host institution, and many of the staff here are students and indeed faculty. So it's a living, breathing example of Hong Kong PolyU's approach to practical learning, and it's been a great place for us to host this inaugural Impact and Innovation Summit. I'm joined here by Ellie Bothwell, Tim Zavula and Phil Beatty. This is John Gill, editor of THE. And I'd just like to ask you for some of your initial thoughts about the highlights of this summit. What's really jumped out as you as being particularly innovative and impactful in terms of the summit itself? I don't know if anyone wants to jump in. Phil, what about your highlights?
Well, mine are a little bit inward-looking because we had a really good session on rankings and performance metrics and how to measure and recognize a university's impact. So from my perspective as editor of the rankings, it was incredibly useful to really explore the kind of data that exists to allow us to put a university's impact into our analyses, into our data products and rankings. And it's one of those sort of major areas that it's so hard to get hold of. You know, in the UK, we've seen with the REF, you know, they've had a narrative approach, they've had a case study based approach, it's cost £50 million. It's a huge challenge, but the major impact universities have on their societies in terms of economic impact, social impact, is massively important but incredibly underappreciated because, in many ways, it's under-measured and it's not measured and recognized. So, for me, that was really exciting, but there was far more than just rankings chat. We had some very good keynote speakers, and I'll probably leave Tim to talk about some of the speaking highlights.
Yeah, Tim, I mean, you obviously are integral to the program that's been put together here, and I think it's been a really interesting one. We had some speakers who came from outside higher education too. I wonder if perhaps you could tell us a bit about, for example, Greg Simon, who has experience in the White House, who spoke today.
Yeah, we've been really lucky at this summit to host not only Greg Simon, but also Henry Lane Fox, who came from the UK, Candice Johnson from France, Hermann Hauser, an Austrian physicist who's, you know, recently lived in Cambridge for a long time and is a venture capitalist. And they all gave different perspectives on entrepreneurship. And also, I think, more the approach to risk as a key aspect of innovation. And I also thought it was quite interesting in a summit where, you know, typically we have speakers who are generally quite high achievers. I can't remember hearing a summit where people talk so much about failure. And I think Peter Matheson, who's the president of Hong Kong U, actually mentioned about how the difficulties of getting their students to embrace failure and to accept failure in their approaches to teaching and learning, because, you know, the students that come into these, you know, fantastic Asian universities, their learning methods tend to be, you know, incredibly hard and geared towards success and, you know, being the very best in their exams, getting there. And then once they come in and study, and they're trying to inculcate a more entrepreneurial attitude and greater risk-taking, but that's just not something they're used to. And so that approach to failure was a really key theme that came out again and again through the summit.
And I suppose another, I mean, when we talk about the cultural differences that you have in higher education systems, we had delegates from all over the world here, but inevitably, being in Hong Kong, we did have quite a lot of Asian delegates. And I think one of the things that I picked up was from a lot of them saying that actually they recognise that a pure focus on STEM, for example, isn't the way to achieve impact. If you're thinking about your students going out into the world and having great ideas and you know, changing the world, you do need people with a really broad range of disciplinary backgrounds too, so the arts and humanities, the social sciences. I think somebody said that actually most of the really big problems we face in the world aren't STEM problems, they're social science problems. You know, it's things like the ageing populations and demographics and things like that. Those are the things that we really need to get to grips with. So Peter Matheson, Vice Chancellor of Hong Kong U, said that he's a medic. If we think about the world's ageing population, well, medicine isn't going to solve that, but social science and humanities will help us manage it. So there were some interesting discussions around that. Ellie, you've obviously been hard at work reporting and tweeting and covering every session. Was there anything that jumped out at you as being particularly newsworthy?
I mean, on that point about this sort of social science and interdisciplinarity, I thought Peter Matheson's point about, well, kind of exploring how his institution has encouraged that sort of work, you know, from a very practical point of view. So he said that, you know, the way that the university now allocates funding to its departments, you know, it favours interdisciplinary work, and that actually, you know, before, faculty would never share their funding with other departments, but that researchers very quickly learn how to sort of play the system if they're going to get more money, and then it's, you know, it's been very successful for his institution. I mean, in terms of highlights overall, I think Greg Simon was definitely one of them. He spoke about the need for the US research culture just to have a complete overhaul. He said, you know, it was sort of stuck in a World War II era, and he spoke about the need for universities to take far more risks, for tenure, to include criteria around collaboration, for researchers to not just think about publishing their research, but also kind of practical applications. So I thought that was really interesting. The opener, Charles Chen Yidan, who sort of, you know, one of the leading philanthropists in China, and he's founded the Yidan Prize to fund sort of innovative ideas in education. I thought his points about technology were really interesting. And then that we shouldn't see technology as a threat, but actually as a kind of golden opportunity for higher education to reform.
So yeah, and also I think there was, you know, a slightly darker element to that as well. A couple of people, including Charles Chen Yidan, said that actually if there are examples of technology having become almost too powerful, or mankind having become too powerful in certain ways, and the effects of that, you look at climate change and so on, it's universities that really have to play an integral role in helping us to fix the things that we've broken. So these are just a few of the highlights from the 2 days of sessions here. It's been an absolutely fantastic event, and we're going to leave you now with a few thoughts from speakers and delegates who were asked to give us their thoughts on impact specifically, which has been the theme we've been discussing here, and what impact means to them as university leaders or politicians or entrepreneurs. So we'll leave you with a few of those thoughts from Hong Kong and from the team here. Who's up for a swim?
Okay. Jacques Biot, president of Polytechnique. Well, the major impact that we seek to achieve is the employability of our students, and have them really act as leaders who are going to influence the world.
And how do you measure that?
Well, first of all, we measure that by the rate of employment, by the number of graduates, of alumni, who are in leading positions in the industry, in government, in science.
Hello, I'm Timothy Tong, and I'm the president of the Hong Kong Polytechnic University.
And what would you say the main highlights of the summit have been for you?
Well, the main highlight is really the hearing from the speakers and the interactions with the speakers and among the delegates. The summit focuses on innovation and its impact on society, and the speakers have really stimulated a lot of food for thoughts for the entire audience. Hearing from Charles Yidan, the value that he places on innovation, and his views about education, I think really provided some additional fruitful thoughts for us to see how we can do even better in the area of innovation and entrepreneurship.
And are there other... We've had delegates and speakers mm-hmm. coming from 34 countries mm-hmm. to this summit. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's some takeaways that are applicable to everybody across those 34 countries that they've learned from this summit?
Absolutely. Among these 34 countries, obviously there are some delegates who came from developed countries, and some came from still developing countries. So the economic conditions in those places are quite different. But one thing is quite uniform, and that is the value of education for our young people. How can we prepare them so that they can be responsible citizens in the coming decades after they have joined the workforce?
Okay, so I am Luis Tort. I am here representing the European Consortium of Innovative Universities, and I have been Vice Rector of Strategic Planning at my university, at the University Autonomous of Barcelona. And for us, the impact of the universities is not only the output of research and or the number of degrees and masters and PhDs that we produce, but also how we interact specifically in the region and in the country in terms of our output to the university, and how this society, the surrounding society, is benefiting from our action in the region.
You're listening to a Times Higher Education podcast.